Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The nation of Ethiopia is one of the countries located within the Horn of Africa. It was first mentioned in the King James Bible in Genesis chapter 2, where a description of the nations surrounding Eden and river systems was given. In today's Bible adventure, a devout Ethiopian official was on his annual trip to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. He probably wasn't a true Jew by birth, but he was certainly no idol worshipper either. He was prepared to travel up to 3,000 kilometers each way by horse and carriage to worship the God of the Jews.
Her Majesty, Queen of Ethiopia, will recall that this is the time of year I go to Jerusalem to worship according to my belief and custom. May I have Her Majesty's permission to go again this year?
You're one of my most trustworthy officials. I worry none at all with you in charge of my treasure house. You have my permission, but be sure to take the usual guards and servants. There are many robbers and murderers along the roads these days, and I want my treasurer back.
Thank you, Your Royal Majesty. Well, we may as well head for home now, Captain. The ceremonies are over.
Yes, sir. Today, sir?
Oh, early in the morning. Have my carriage ready by sunup.
Is His Highness comfortable?
As much as can be expected in a carriage. I bought something to occupy my time and mind. A copy of the Book of Isaiah. It's part of the Israelite scripture.
Yes, sir. Driver, get started.
Get up there. Come on, get up.
Philip, get yourself ready and go south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza.
The Lord wants me here for some mission. I know not what. But it shall be revealed unto me at the proper time. Here comes a caravan now. Must be an important person with all those attendants and soldiers. Oh, he's riding in a carriage. He must be important.
Philip, go over and stay close to that chariot, and you will know what to do.
He is like a sheep that was taken to be slaughtered. He was like a lamb that makes no sound when its wool is cut off. He did not say a word. He was humiliated, and justice was denied him. No one will be able to tell about his descendants, for his life is taken from this earth into heaven.
Do you understand what you are reading, sir?
Oh, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me?
Driver, stop the carriage.
Whoa, whoa.
Now, get up here and sit with me, my friend.
All right, driver. Come on, yeah.
Sir, I pray thee, of whom speaketh Isaiah? Of himself? Of some other man?
And then Philip began to speak, starting from this very passage in Isaiah. He told the good news about a crucified and risen Savior. After a while, they came to a place where there was some water, and the important treasurer said,
"Here is some water. What is to keep me from being baptized?"
The carriage was stopped, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, behold, Philip was taken away by the Holy Spirit.
He has been taken away. He was of God. Of a truth, I have found the way to salvation. Thank you, dear God, and thy Son, Jesus.
And he went on his way full of joy.
Our gracious Father in heaven has regard for all his people. In Acts chapter 8, God called Philip the deacon away from his busy ministry in Samaria to travel down to an unlikely desert region. Philip obeyed God and waited at the right spot at the right time. God's timing is perfect, and along came a caravan of people escorting the Ethiopian treasurer back home to Ethiopia. He was sitting up in the carriage, trying to make sense of the words of the book of Isaiah the prophet. He would already have had considerable knowledge about the first five books of the Bible, as known by the Jewish people, but he couldn't understand what Isaiah chapter 53 meant. The verses the Ethiopian was reading were written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the Old Testament prophets said the Messiah would come as a king, a saviour, or an anointed one. But Isaiah wrote about a suffering servant who would sacrifice his own life to make amends for the sin and wrongdoing of mankind. The Jews couldn't believe that the king or saviour that they were waiting for could actually be the same person described as a suffering servant. While the Jews expected the pomp of a king, Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 10 that he didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the previous chapter of Mark, Jesus also said, "Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected?" By Jesus' own words, we understand that the suffering servant prophecy by Isaiah was definitely written about Christ. We need to remember that at the time when Philip met the Ethiopian treasurer, there was nothing about the Lord Jesus written down. All the writings were from the Old Testament. When the treasurer asked Philip who that passage of Scripture was speaking about, Philip began to tell him of the Lord Jesus and the good news of salvation available by his sacrifice on the cross. When Philip had finished explaining everything, the Ethiopian said that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he wanted to be baptized into the new covenant with Jesus. So the carriage was stopped, and Philip baptized him in the water beside the roadway. As mentioned in last week's story about Simon the ex-sorcerer being baptized, only God knows whether a person truly believes in Jesus' forgiveness from their heart or not. It's possible that some people will be baptized without having true faith, but it's God's business to judge them on such matters and not ours. True servants of the Lord must go where God sends them, to do what God tells them to do and to leave the results with him. Following the Ethiopian's baptism, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away from him, and the man never saw Philip again. Instead, he went on his way home rejoicing. Then the Holy Spirit took Philip to a city north of Gaza on the Mediterranean coast. After arriving there, Philip travelled further north to the city of Caesarea, preaching the gospel as he went. It seems that he settled there, as the next time Philip is mentioned is in the book of Acts chapter 21. He was living there with four grown daughters who were prophetesses. In our times, there are a number of anti-Christian groups rising to challenge Jesus Christ's teachings, and they're doing so with the aid of modern technology. The theory of evolution is being taught as fact in many schools, and it says that everything made itself by itself out of nothing. Although none of the promoters of evolution can tell how non-life could produce life, they have a blind faith that it must be true. Evolutionists are very similar to atheists in their beliefs. Neither group wants to acknowledge a supreme God who has say over his world. Atheists today have become very militant, to the point that if Christians don't agree with them, then they're considered stupid or ignorant, and in some places, even lose their jobs and professional credibility in the workplace. Christians, who are those people who have put their trust in Jesus Christ to make them right with God, have a knowledge of God that is certain. They not only believe, they know that God is real and that he has revealed himself to humanity. At the heart of atheism is human pride. Something within unbelievers fights against there being someone superior to them. They want to be in control of all things and certainly not have their sins and weaknesses exposed. Is there any evidence that God is real? Yes, there is. Everything we know about God is what he has revealed to us about himself. He has made himself known in many ways. There are some general ones to think about. First, God shows us the wonder of creation. Behind the design of any life form, there must be a designer, as creation must have a creator. When we look through a microscope, we can see the detail and complexity of the cells built into our bodies. To suggest that a living cell could invent itself by chance from a swamp here on the earth is mathematically impossible and totally in opposition to all Bible teaching. Consider further the position of planet Earth in our solar system. Earth is perfectly positioned so that if the distance from the sun was altered just a little bit, all life on earth would either freeze or burn. There are many examples of how perfectly God has planned the world and holds it together day after day, despite man's activities that can do damage to such good work. Secondly, God speaks to us through the witness of our conscience. Nobody is born an atheist. Within every human being, there's a sense of right and wrong, of fair play and justice. If there is no God, there can be no absolute standard of morality or fair play. Yet right and wrong, justice and fair play are written deep within our nature. Where did they come from? Conscience is like a court of law built within us. It's willing to judge us and find us guilty when we go against what we inwardly know as right. We're created spiritual beings as well as physical beings, so we're made with an inborn awareness of our responsibilities toward God and others. Thirdly, God gave us the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible has spoken on scientific issues thousands of years before scientists discovered, in inverted commas, what had already been said. The accuracy of the Bible needs to be explained away by atheists as they don't believe it's the Word of God. It has proved to be archaeologically and historically accurate. Throughout the Bible, we also read that God speaks to reveal the future. Also, history reveals the work of Christ. The Bible tells us that in Jesus, God became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Jesus did what no religious or political leader could. He conquered the grave. There's no doubt in history that Jesus was dead, and 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. There is an overwhelming weight of historical evidence to prove this. Also, God's Holy Spirit gives us the wake-up call of conversion. God has revealed himself to the world at large, but he also makes himself known to individuals and changes their lives from the inside out. How can anyone explain what caused a prison inmate to read a leaflet about God and then read the New Testament in his cell? That man was guilty of crimes society regards as the worst. But in light of what he read, he knelt by his bed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive him and come into his life. Now, years later, the same prisoner is a different man and out of jail leading a church. Who can explain such a drastic change in a person's life if it weren't for God? It's not easy to turn away from atheism, but honesty requires a fair evaluation and God will help anyone willing to do so. A new group opposing Jesus' teachings is called the Emerging Church Movement. At the heart of this movement is the belief that absolute truth doesn't exist. That idea is totally opposed to evangelical Christianity, which holds that God and the Bible are sources of absolute truth. The emerging movement takes truths that have been accepted as Christian doctrine for centuries and turns them into a matter of opinion. What you say is right for me is not necessarily right for you, they say. The result is that some emerging movement groups have rejected keeping statements on what they believe. At meetings, they have a great deal of discussion about Christian doctrines and exchange views. This gives a voice to young people who have friendships with people of other nationalities and want to see all religions united together as one. To do this, they have to reject God's Son, Jesus Christ, as the one and only way to salvation and heaven. Critics of the emerging church movement say it fosters the teaching that everyone will be saved and go to heaven. This movement may become part of the one world religion predicted during the time of the Great Tribulation. The Bible is God's authoritative word, and we must give it the last say. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.